I can stop.
Hello to all of our Family Burrito listeners out there whose father thought it was hilarious when he would wake up and catch you stealing his weed out of his drawer in the middle of the night when you were trying to get drunk and high during your teenage years. Welcome back to the Family Burrito Podcast, episode 53. My name is Christine. My sister, Jesse, and I created this podcast as a way to heal our daddy weed issues, Jesse.
What's up, girl?
Girl, let's talk about your daddy weed issues. Do you have any?
I don't have any daddy weed issues. No, I'm just kidding. I have tons of daddy weed issues. What am I talking about? So, well, as you were talking about the intro, do you remember when dad had like the Russian bride?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So she has some relative that was like taking a road trip through Texas, and he had me buy some weed for him. Okay. Mind you, I was in high school. And this guy was older. He was like, I think in his 20s. So older than me. And he had me buy him some weed. And then he got mad at me that it was shorted. I was like, I don't have a scale. Like, I just bought this from somebody at school. Like, and then I remember dad and him got in a fight over it. And dad kicked him out of the house.
Okay. And who was this guy?
He was like a cousin to the Russian bride.
Right. Right, right. He was the cousin. Okay. Yeah. A little background about our father. How old were you? Around 12? Was it around 12?
11, I was 12? In high school. Okay. Oh, when this happened, yeah, I was in high school.
Yeah. So I think it was around 12 and y'all were in Colorado. I don't even know where the hell he got this catalog of Russian, you know, wide. What, right?
Yeah.
And he told
you. And he would say, check out your new mommy.
Yes. So he had this catalog of potential Russian wives. I don't like where the hell, first of all, where the hell do you get a catalog like that? Like hashtag asking for a friend. Like, I'm like, right. Where do you get that catalog? Like, how does that happen? Like, you know, I've never ran across something. I'm like, where did he run across this catalog? He must've been in something sinister or whatever, where he found this catalog, you know, got his hands on it. Maybe it was at the porn shop or something. Anyways, so he, I don't know. It seems like he searched high and he searched low in this catalog. He told you to pick your mommy, right?
Yeah.
And you were like 12. That's so sick and so twisted, you know, and you were probably like going to pick a mommy that looked like you, right?
Well, I just remember looking at like all these half naked women at a very
young age. They were half naked?
Yes. Yeah. Like some of them were like titties just out.
Oh my god. Okay. I am so naive and like I feel like I've lived a crazy life, but I'm sitting here thinking they're all like have professional photos
and, like, oh no,
wow, wow.
Like, I look like they were like sex trade sex traffickers. That's like what it looked like. Cause it was like white background. I'll never forget this. It was like a white background and like the women would be standing there and like either like in lingerie or their bra and panties or just completely naked.
Wow.
The men wanted to know what they're buying.
That's crazy. That's just, man,
but it's crazy that dad just handed this to me and was like, she's gonna turn out normal.
Wow. Okay. So so then he finally found the one, right?
Yeah. And then online. Then the internet was invented because like, you know, the catalogs were pre-internet. And then he found this one online. You know.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, internet. So this one wasn't in the catalog. This one was online.
Online. Yeah.
That's crazy. It was like called
RussianBrides.com. Shit, you fucking not.
What was her name? Do you remember?
Lou something.
Lou.
Yeah. That's why I was like, the universe is fucking with me right now because it was right after Grandma Lou died. So it was like. And then he was like, yeah, this bitch and her daughter are going to move to Fort Worth and you're going to have to like teach her English and shit. And I was like, I hate Russians now. I forever hated Russians.
Okay. I have so many questions. Like, okay. So this was after Grandma Lou died and then he found a Russian bride online, RussianBride.com. I guess shout out. I don't know. Or if they still exist, like maybe they'll pay us for some advertising. I don't know. But anyways, and then so the one he picked out, her name was Lou something. That is crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like, because it was like, it was very, you know, Russian, but it was like Lou. Oh gosh, I haven't thought about it in a long time, so I'll have to like think about it and put it in show notes, or it, like write it down.
Wasn't it like Lumeda? I don't know. I feel like there's an M in there.
Yeah, it was like Lou something.
Yeah,
because like remember, because our grandma's name is Lualta, so I always keep wanting to fucking say Lualta.
That's crazy. So he went to Russia first, right?
Yeah, he met her there in Russia after like talking on the internet, and then he gave her a debit card, and she spent like $30,000 or some shit.
Yeah, because she, I remember her son needed like dental work and all this stuff, and meanwhile you don't even have freaking shoes and clothes, and wow, that's crazy. That's just...
Well, that's why I don't really like Russian women. Sorry, yeah. Russian women,
yeah,
tell your sisters to behave. Yeah.
Like, well, fucking... they're just doing what they do. That in this particular case, I mean, she obviously was a scammer.
Yeah,
a scammer. Didn't work at a grocery store. She didn't scan things. She was a scammer. I get my M and my N's mixed up, girl. Just like I'm still thinking about the Lumada, whatever her name was. I don't know.
Yeah, you're close. I feel like you're very close to. Yeah.
Let me get my pendulum and ask my pendulum. 3 hours later, is it Lumi? Is it Lumi? You know. But yeah, so he went to, I remember him going, I feel like he showed me a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just know that somewhere, I don't know if it was, I think it was a picture he showed me, and it was of her green thong, her like neon green thong. Did you get to see that picture?
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
Thankful for that.
He thought it was, I don't know. He was proud to get some booty, I guess, even though he had to pay.
It was just a picture. It wasn't even the real thing. It was just a picture.
Yeah. So gross.
How fucking creepy.
Damn. Yeah, totally creepy. And so then did he go to Russia twice or was it just once?
I feel like it was once, and then he was planning on going again, and then she pulled that trickery.
The trickery of coming into town?
No, it's taking that 30,000. Like, she never even came to visit. I never even met the bitch.
Oh, she never came to visit?
No. Like, thank God, because I know I would have fought her. With my anger issues then, and the way I know she was playing dad, because it's so fucking obvious to, like, outsiders.
Yeah.
No, I would have ended up going in handcuffs that night.
So you don't think he really knew that she was scamming him?
I think he was hopeful that he was not being scammed.
Yeah.
He was a hopeless romantic, dad. Yeah. He was such a fucking moron for pussy. And it, so annoying.
Yeah.
But well, all he had to do was be like a decent human, like more than just 20% of the time. And like, he would have kept a woman. Like, I'm pretty sure like bitches cheated on him probably because he had a small dick. That's my theory. Like, you can't lay down the pipe good. Then you're probably going out there getting some pipe laid from somebody else.
I don't know.
Well, like my mom cheated on dad. With, well, I mean, he was gone forever, but. She cheated on him
and got pregnant.
And
wasn't she working at a Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Dairy Queen. Shout out Dairy Queen.
Oh, that's, I don't know what's more white trash, KFC or DQ.
And you know what the fucked up thing is? Like, dad was always so upset, not the fact that she got pregnant, but the fact that she was offered a managerial job. And she didn't think she was smart enough to do it. So she took a lesser paying job because she didn't want to be a manager. And that's what dad was more mad about than her getting knocked up by the manager.
I don't even know where to go with that, Jesse. Like, my brain is scrambled eggs right now. I'm still trying to remember the chick's name, and there's my M and my N's are getting mixed up. And now we're talking about managerial positions at Dairy Queen. But anyway, I thought she worked at KFC, but.
And yeah, I guess you don't even have to have a high school diploma for that shit, because bitch dropped out in 10th grade.
Yeah. Why did she drop out?
She got kicked out of school and her parents never enrolled her in a different school.
Wasn't it because of a fight? I feel like she story about that.
She cut some bitch's hair off on the school bus.
Okay.
Petty bitch.
Jesse, how did you turn out so normal?
I'm normal. I'm normal. She said I'm normal. I'm just kidding.
You turn out so normal? Because your mother had, like, you know, very little education, got kicked out for cutting someone's hair on the school bus. Your father twisted and, you know, handing you weed when your brain's not even developed and telling you Santa wasn't real at four and picking out your mommy and half new. I mean, how did you turn out so normal, Jesse? For real.
Drugs?
No.
Well, I mean, I think I did a lot of, like, shrooms. And the shrooms were like, forget them. Yeah. I don't know. I had goals. Like, I also had, like, certain goals in my life that I knew that I wanted to accomplish. And I guess, like, growing up pretty much with money when I was raised with Grandma Lou, like, I never had to worry about money with her, you know. But with Dad, it was always, we were always on the struggle bus. So I was like, man, I would like to, for it to go back to where it was, like, when Grandma Lou was taking care of me. That was dope.
Yeah, because you had, how long did you live with Grandma Lou?
From 5 to 9, so 4 years.
So that's really good. That's actually super good, because they say that your beliefs are formed by the time you're 7. So I'm glad that you had that example of normalcy, you know, because despite whatever she is and who she was, whatever, you had a consistent schedule. You had someone who cared about you. You didn't have to worry about clothes and food. I mean, you had consistency.
Yeah.
And on top of that,
she would buy me random things for no reason. She would just be like, here you go. And I'm like,
yeah. So you had an example of love, and you kind of had that nurture and, and then someone to teach you about money a little bit, you know,
even though she hated everybody else.
Yeah.
For some reason she liked me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe she was like, she's an innocent.
I don't know, but I'm glad that you had that experience, because I mean, who knows how different things would have been. Right. So I'm very grateful that Grandma Lou, you know, stepped in and did that. You know, cause our dad's so crazy.
And then, like, Uncle Mac, even though he wasn't, like, always there, I will say, you remember his old house he had with Aunt Wendy?
Which one?
I think it was in Rivercrest. That was so young.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. It was huge.
Yep.
Fucking huge. And I would get lost in that motherfucker.
Because it wasn't one of those houses where it's like open concept. It was like, you're in different rooms, so many different rooms.
It was insane. It was a maze. And like going to the bathroom was a fucking struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck am I? So anyway, growing up and seeing that kind of wealth in the family as well, I think kind of was like, you know what? Your dad's just kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. You were surrounded by responsible people, no matter what we think of them or whatever. You were surrounded by people, you know, responsible people, and who were consistent, you know, and that's what you need when you're like, grow up in chaos and toxicity is, you know, that when we get panic attacks and things, like, I know for me, uncertainty used to be, I didn't know that's what it was called, uncertainty. I just knew, like, when a plan changed, I would melt down, anger. My brain couldn't make a decision. I didn't know what my choices were. And now I know, because I've just worked through so much of it, you know, that when I get uncertainty, you know, I have my like tools and techniques. I read this quote by Eckhart Tolle. It said, in the fog of uncertainty lies opportunity. And I remember reading that one day and I was like, yes, you know? And so now when there's uncertainty, you know, I now know breathing techniques, look at what my choices are. If this is a roadblock, like there's going to be an opportunity, like what's the opportunity in this, you know?
Yeah. You know what my favorite quote is?
What?
While we're on it, to be great is to be misunderstood.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Because great. You don't, no trailblazers, you know, started doing things other people did. They created their own path, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, I feel like that's what you and I do, because, and which changes the cycle and heals, you know, our DNA, ancestral trauma stuff. Because, you know, we have awareness, and sometimes we not always know what to do with it, you know, or what it's called or whatever it is. But, you know, I'm really proud that you and I have overcome so much, because I mean, I used to say I was just one bad choice away from the stripping, you know, from the pole, you know, and
nothing wrong with strippers, because we love strip clubs.
Oh no, I heart strippers. I need that bumper sticker on my car. But
we just cannot dance. We would be poor strippers.
but you know, and to be quite frank, the reason why because I had a couple of friends that started doing it. But to be frank, the reason why I was too insecure, I was like, so insecure. I was like, which is good. So it was actually almost in a sense, a protective factor for me, because I was so insecure about my body and the way I looked, you know, and I looked good.
I think you'll find a lot of strippers like taking Xanax and drinking, doing a lot of drugs, because, you know, there's like to get them through the next night.
Yep.
And it's so sad.
Yep.
I'm like, you don't have to do this, girl.
Yeah, but I know.
Drugs are also addictive.
Drugs are also
addictive, especially Xanax. Like when you see somebody on Xanax, it's like clear as day. Mm-hmm. They think they're talking, but they're not talking. It's like word jumble mumble.
The lights are on and no one's home.
Yeah. And they're like, no, I definitely just said words, bitch. And you're like, no, that was different language.
Yeah.
As anybody that's on Xanax.
I only took Xanax one time and I was like, hell no. No, thank you ever again. It was too much.
I did the dumbest shit on Xanax. Like, I don't know how, like, I don't want to like call myself out and get myself in trouble. But like, definitely stole from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure everybody's done that. So don't like, but I also did something even dumber. And like, when I was dating Evan, this was so fucking dumb. Man, I hope nobody judges me. super barred out, and we're driving around looking for unlocked cars to steal from.
Mm-hmm.
We got like 8 CDs and like 60 cents. But it was just so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, only people on drugs think that's a good idea.
No, people who were raised by broken people who have never had any boundaries, and boundaries are so blurred, like, no, that's completely normal.
Evan was like quote unquote raised by a normal family. Like, his dad was a whatever minister or whatever the fuck those are called.
Okay, so there we go. You don't have to say anything more. You said I didn't realize that. So religion, actually, I just did an episode on How Coronavirus Saved My Life podcast about how spirituality helps with depression and anxiety and mental health and stuff. And I had a minister on there. He's a minister. Uh-huh. He's an addiction counselor and a sex addiction counselor. And he is the owner of Souk like counseling and life coaching in Fort Gibson, Oklahoma. But we were talking about spirituality, because he did this presentation when I was at that conference in Denver. And he just made me bawl my eyes out, because it was about how it's important to, you know, integrate spirituality in healthcare. But before he talked about that, he told his own story. And, you know, if you and I were walking down the street and we saw Mr. Jack Perkins, Dr. Jack Perkins, we'd been like, oh, that guy looks like he has a nice life, you know, and he does now, but he went through so much struggle. Like, I mean, all the things going on, but we talk about, you know, religion and how, you know, people, he said he noticed during COVID that people had difficulty leaning on their religion. And part of it is because you have these broken people who are raising you, and then you integrate religion into it. And so how are you supposed to lean on into something if the broken people are telling you this is what you do? Like, you know, like, it's just like when dad would give advice, we wouldn't listen to him. Why would we listen to him? He makes crazy choices, you know?
Well, you know, and then so fucked up, like dad bonded with Evan because the heroin addict thing.
Yep.
And while Evan's parents being like tough love, they kicked Evan out of the house. Like he had nowhere to go. And our dad ended up helping him sign a lease for an apartment. Mm-hmm. You know, I covered my mouth when I said that. Sorry. I don't know if you could hear me, but could you hear me say
that? Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. I realized I was covering my mouth when I was doing that. And I was like, oh, that's dumb. But yeah, so I appreciated dad on those kinds of levels because he could see people's real pain and look past the religious bullshit.
Yep. Yeah. Because dad was no stranger to judgment. Speaking of judgment, right? He was judged his entire life, you know, and it's interesting because I've been doing like cleaning my house, and I found this like tub of from dad's like stuff. I didn't even realize what it was. But it was Grandma Lou's, I guess, papers and her and dad's aunt's papers and things like that. So I started kind of digging through it a little bit, but it's got like old wills and testaments and stuff. So I didn't want to touch a whole bunch of stuff. But I ran across this envelope that was addressed to one of our uncles, and it was from 1961. And it was letters from our grandfather addressed to our dad and his two brothers and Grandma Lou. And I have it here today because I wanted to read it because
I got goosebumps.
I know. And dad was 6 years old.
He died before you were born. Right. Yeah, he died like 3 years before you were born.
Yeah. And so he wrote, he wrote, you know, three separate letters, four separate letters, one to now I can't find it. Darn it. that's funny. I can't find the one that he wrote to dad, but it was interesting because the tone was like different in each letter. And I'm sure because of age and stuff, but through to dad. He told him, he said, you know, make sure that you're minding your mother, make sure that you're not beating up your brothers. Oh, and he started off the letter calling him Pumpkinhead. Yeah.
Toehead. Never mind.
No, but we did an episode where I was complaining about my ex-husband calling Sophia, my daughter, Chickenhead, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And you were calling Reuben, your dog, Chickenhead.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so like, the first line is, how are you doing, Pumpkinhead? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's crazy, Jesse. It's crazy. And then he in the letter, he told dad, he said, you know, are you playing baseball? If not, have your brothers teach you. The dad was like 6 years old. And I guess our grandfather was in Houston. I don't know exactly what he was doing. And then he said, so mind your mother, play baseball, and stop beating up your brothers. And then he called him a little toot. And so he was quite funny because in another letter he wrote to, you know, one of our uncles, he was talking about going sailing and how he had a friend that had a sailboat. And he was going to be the navigator and they're trying to go to the Caribbean. And then he made a joke that, you know, I hope we don't end up in Cuba, you know? And so, yeah, it was we never met our grandfather. I never met him. He died 7 years before I was born. And, you know, he had cirrhosis of the liver. And also the letter he wrote to our grandmother, I don't know if they were divorced or separated or what they were at that time. But you could tell he was probably drunk because his handwriting was sloppy. He's probably got nervous because because basically in the letter, he's apologizing for not sending her more money. And there was a lot of like markouts and just, and his handwriting was very similar to our father's. And so it was very beautiful penmanship, but the one that he wrote to our grandma, you know, it was very different. It was very different. It was a very different tone. It was an embarrassed tone, kind of shameful tone. And so I looked up the address that was in Hearst, Texas, and I looked at the house and, you know, a small little house. And so I got to thinking because, you know, it's just perplexed me to think about how, you know, when Grandma Lou was married, I don't know, was it third, fourth time, whatever. I guess it was the third or second time. I don't know. Was she the stepfather who was very abusive towards our father and like, you know, beat him up and was physically abusive for years. And I think that guy was a lawyer, but I was reading this letter and it gave me a different perspective because if you think about our grandmother being raised in the Depression, abandoned by her parents for several years, went off to California and left her and her sister to God knows what kind of stuff they had to deal with when they were like 12. And so that sort of makes me wonder if that's why she was so wanting to take you in, because she was probably a lot of stuff was coming up for her about that. But anyways, so she.
And Robbie just died.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
She always told me that, like, I saved her from that. And I don't know why she like always told me that, but she would be like, yeah, she'd be like, yeah, I would just be laying in bed if it wasn't for you.
Wow. You gave her purpose.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I was thinking, I was like, how could a mother like sit there and let her husband, you know, physically abuse, you know, her child? And I was thinking, well, after reading that letter, you know, where he couldn't send her much money or whatever it was, because he was a geologist, you know, and so geologists don't make very much money, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then a drunk one probably makes zero money, you know what I mean?
Right.
But he didn't really seem like he had a stable place to live. He was like, I'll let you know. This is my address right now. And you can't even read the address. It was so sloppy. I was like, okay, maybe that was a little purposeful. Like you can't even read the numbers and it's a PO box. It's all shady, you know? But I got to thinking, if you are a mother of three and you marry somebody, turns out to be an alcoholic and then disappears, whatever happened, you know, and then you grew up in the Depression, I assume you're like, you know what, screw this. I'm going to get married for money this time and damn the consequences. You know what I mean? And so I'm at, cause shoot, that's survival mode, right? Like you can't, you know, roof over your head and feed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. It just gave me more perspective on kind of the lens through her eyes, you know, and maybe, you know, that she just had to do what they had to do to survive, you know?
Yeah. I'm for sure. I honestly have always looked up to Grandma because of that. And while her sons, like Mac has made it very blatant that he thinks it's dumb that she's one of my heroes. And I'm like, what? Because he hates her. You know, he's like, I had to grow up with a dumb bitch.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, she ruined my childhood.
That's what he said. Like,
in so many words, like, you know, in a Mac way, he said that.
Yeah. You know?
And I was just like, okay, I think that's what parents are meant to do. In some kind of aspect, like you're like, oh, they sure did fuck me up, man.
Yeah.
Like your parents didn't come, they didn't get a book, they didn't get instructions on how to like treat every little moment.
Right. Cause they were raised by broken people too. Either they or not there, right?
And then Mac, his fucking children didn't even talk to him until their mom died.
Yeah.
So like that says a lot about his parenting, correct? Like
right. Like, we're all just going, trying to figure it out as we go. I know it's funny you say that because I was about to go pick up some groceries and I asked Sophia, I don't know. I just paused and I go, how do you think I'm doing as a parent? And she goes, I think you're doing pretty okay. And I said, and then she started laughing nervously. And I said, do I have room for improvement? She said, and I said, okay, we'll talk about this later.
Later, girl.
Yeah, later, girl.
But like, yeah, that's one of the things that you could probably do, right? If you're a parent, is to literally ask your kid.
Yeah.
Like, here's a survey.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't. You know what? That's a good idea. Here's her survey. Yeah. satisfied, dissatisfied, exceptional, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, why don't people ask their kid, how do you think I'm doing as a parent? Are they afraid of the answer?
Probably.
Or how about you get the answer and you figure it out together? Everything's negotiable, you know?
But most, and I've noticed this though, most moms manipulate their kids into fishing, like they fish for those compliments, you know, they're like, oh, horrible mom. No, yeah. Mommy, you're the best. And like my mom would do that. She'd be like, I'm a horrible mom. And like my little brother, Dakota and Adriana, my little sister, Adriana, oh no, mom. And I would get so mad at them for feeding into it. I was like, you might be onto something, mom. And she hated me for it. Like, I'm not the one. And it wasn't even because she abandoned me. I'm just like, you're manipulating everybody right now to feel bad for you. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've had lots of conditioning, right? And you haven't had that much conditioning from her. And so, you know, yeah, I could see why she.
I also don't put up with people trying to make themselves look like the victim at all. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
It takes two to tango, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're no more of a victim than fucking Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he was ever victimized.
Yeah. 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 I know. Well, I love you, Jesse. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope your Thanksgiving was good.
Oh yeah, it was. I cooked forever. How about you?
Mine was good. We went to my aunt's house, and we were actually kind of coordinating the schedule around my mom being there. You know, I was going to go, Jeff and his daughter and Sophie were going to go after my mom left because she doesn't stay long. Well, guess who fell?
Your mom. Because it had to be about her.
Well, it's a holiday.
Oh my God.
Holiday's birthday.
I thought she was in a wheelchair.
Girl, I don't know. The thing is that it's not that she is not sick. She really does have medical issues, but she does nothing to improve herself because narcissists want to be sick because they want to be the victim. Speaking of victim, right? And so like, and really what it is all about control. It's all about control. However I can get control, whether it's hate or love, and probably us just talking about her. Like, you know, I don't know if she watches our stuff, but you know,
she definitely watches this space.
Yeah. She likes that attention, whether it's good or bad. That's why they like being in court. They love going to court. Yeah. But yeah, so we get to go to my aunt's. And so that was really nice.
Was that John Bennett guy who sued me this time last year?
Mm.
Remember that motherfucker?
Yeah.
But he's a narcissist.
I don't know. I need more information, girl.
I'm just going to lay it out there because he's a dickwad.
Oh, goodness. Well, I love you, baby girl. I will talk to you later. Have a great week.
All right. You too. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.